Hey guys, and welcome to the Dumb Things Podcast. My name is Steven.
Hey, and I'm Randy.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Please take a second to drop a review. And of course, follow this podcast wherever you get your podcast to stay updated whenever we drop a new episode.
That's right. And we're trying our best to drop a new episode every Monday. So if you have any questions or topics you want us to discuss or any suggestions, please shoot us an email at dumbthingspodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. And here we go into episode 3. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing good. Wow, episode 3. That's amazing. Look at us.
It is, and so far so good. What have you been up to, man? What's been keeping you busy?
Oh gosh, man. It's still pretty weird. Not a lot of things. So I'm just kind of taking it easy these days, which I haven't done in a very long time. So I've been trying to work out because I gained a lot of weight since this ECQ. My goodness.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Oh, dude, God. We are like so best friends. I was going to say, this is what I was leading into. Like during the whole quarantine, I've been also gaining weight. Like in the beginning, I was actually losing weight because obviously you couldn't go out to eat. Like you couldn't get food outside because yeah. In Manila, like everything locked down during ECQ.
That's right.
So it was mostly just staying inside, a lot of home cooking.
Yeah.
And I was actually working out for the most part. But dude, like after maybe like the first month or so, I started getting lazy.
I feel you.
I started gaining weight, man.
Oh, me too. I was so jealous too with you. You know, I would see your posts sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, he's working out again. And I'm just sitting here eating a tub of ice cream. Like, who am I?
Because in the beginning, that's all we could really do. Because we couldn't go to the station. We couldn't go to Jam to board. Because they closed that down. You couldn't go outside. During ECQ, you were still in Malaysia at the time, weren't you?
No, I was able to get back here just in time.
During ECQ. Before ECQ.
So you know how it was. Oh my gosh, bro. I was going crazy. I've never been so bored in my life.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, there was the curfew. Everything was closed down. You know, I live in the Ortigas area, so there's like a lot of businesses there, but everything was just shut down. So, you know, after a while, like, it just started getting bored and just started eating. Yeah. But that's what I was going to get into because I started doing P90X recently.
Oh,
and I remember when we tried to do P90X
for five days. We were so fit for 5 days. I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to start trying to do, which is crazy because I used to work out a lot. I'm so lazy now. So I'm just going to try and walk around. I'm going to try this later and I'll let you guys know next week how that turns out. I'm going to try and start walking around and start jogging. And we can see if both of us lose weight because I got hella fat, dude. I feel bad.
I feel bad too. But I was gonna tell you, this isn't sponsored at all by P90X, but you should try P90X3. It's like the same thing, but it's only 30 minutes. If you guys are also suffering from the whole quarantine, like 15 pound gained, try that out. I recommend it. It's only 30 minutes because I remember with P90X is like an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
this one's
right.
A little more manageable.
Yeah, let's all do it together. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you're losing weight. You don't have to send pictures.
Yeah, please. That would be kind of scary, actually.
Yeah, I don't need to see.
Look, Steven. Look, Randy.
Like, I'm losing weight. Like, great. But let's go through it together and let's all get fit together, I hope, and stop being so fat. And maybe we should stop eating all those cookies. How about that? But yeah,
that usually helps a lot. So yeah, we'll see. I'm only in a week in, but hopefully I'll see some progress.
That's cool.
Soon.
Anything good you're watching these days?
Dude, I binge watched Cobra Kai, at least the first season.
Is it good?
I don't know if you've gotten into that.
I'm about to start.
It's so good. So that's the newest show for me, even though it's been out for a couple years, because I know
it was on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, but apparently everyone just started watching it when it came onto Netflix recently.
Of course. It's such a phenomenon. I mean, I know of some movies, Filipino movies, that are really well made, who never got a chance when they were out on the cinema. They really bombed. And then they come out on Netflix, and then boom, number one. I'm like, that's so good. I feel good about that.
Yeah. Another example of that is... what is that Spanish series? Casa del Papel?
Oh, yeah. I've been hearing
Money
about
Heist.
That.
Well, we know it as Money Heist.
Yeah.
Dude, apparently they originally released, I think in Spain or wherever, and they had no ratings. But once they got released onto Netflix, that's when it hit, and like everyone started watching it. That's why they had to make a season two.
It's because crazy.
After they made season one, no one watched it. They had like no ratings, so they decided to just kind of pack it up. But when they got hit onto when they got hooked up with Netflix, that's where it really hit, and they're like, oh shit, we have to make another season.
Yeah, the world has changed, and it's either get in it or be left behind. It's amazing. I mean, it's crazy. I don't, you know.
Yeah, it is true, man. I mean, certain people or certain shows, like, you know, if they come at the right time, dude, like, look at Tiger King. We talked about it in the last episode.
Oh my gosh.
That is such a shitty show, man. It's such a dumb show.
It's such a dumb show with dumb haircuts and really bad dental health or oral hygiene.
But, I don't know, man. I just have a quick question before we get on to the episode. Do you think Carol Baskin killed her husband, though?
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes, like 100%. You think so? Oh, yeah, 100%. I feel like they're all messed up. They're all fucked up in the head. She's so capable. Dude, she's so crazy.
It was kind of convenient, too, how he disappeared and like no one knew what happened to him.
And all of a sudden, she hella rich. You know,
yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Just one of those trashy shows that we watch during the quarantine, like I'm sure a lot of you have done. But anyways, let's get into today's topic.
Yeah.
Something we kind of thought about. I thought about with Randy in mind. Today's topic is life as an OFW, which Randy, of course, recently experienced living abroad for a while in Malaysia. And I know you also spent some time in Dubai.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
And myself, I'm kind of like, I guess, a backwards OFW. I moved here from the U.S. and I've been living in the Philippines now for 10 years. So this is actually an interesting topic because, you know, OFW is, you know, a very, how would you say it, commonly used term in the Philippines because I pulled up some stats here. A 2019 survey of overseas Filipinos or OFWs, it's estimated to be around 2.2 million.
Damn.
That's around 2% of the population. And you know, not all of them are going to be documented. You know, some of us
or
some of them or whoever does it, you know, there might be under the table arrangement. So it could be even bigger than that.
That's crazy. And
so,
yeah, we're one of the biggest exports of the Philippines, our OFWs.
People. Yeah, that's one of our biggest exports is we just send people out.
Oh, my goodness.
But, I mean, like we said before, you know, it's because I think it speaks to the adaptability of Filipinos. You know,
We
usually speak English pretty well. You know, we're hard workers. You put them anywhere, they will succeed. So
that's
jumping
true.
Into this,
yeah.
I'm curious. I mean, I know you lived in Dubai for a while. Like, what made you make the move?
I think what made me make the move, there were two things that made me move. First off, is the reason everybody moves is for financial reasons.
Yeah, I was gonna assume that. It seems like most OFWs, when you talk to them, it's not really that they wanted to do it.
Yeah, I don't
think it's more like they had to do it.
They had to do it. I mean, it's crazy because I remember watching the news and you'd always find a Filipino OFW somewhere. Like, I remember one time I was watching and there was like a hostage taking happening in the Congo or some out of nowhere place in Africa, and like, oh, there's two locals and two Filipinos. I'm like, what? Like, how the
God,
there's a Filipino,
how the hell did you get out there?
Yeah, like
in the Congo.
In the Congo, like, what the fuck are you doing? How is life in the Congo better than the Philippines? Like, what made you choose to go there and say it's better to move there than just keep living in the Philippines? I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't know. The way the government's been handling this whole pandemic,
but
I don't really blame them.
That's true. I mean, and when you really think about it, unfortunately, I mean, a lot of the OFWs who fly out aren't all executives or doctors or nurses. A lot of them are, you know, domestic helpers and stuff like that. They don't necessarily get paid a lot of money, but when you're living in the province, when you have absolutely nothing, you know, they don't get paid that much money, bro, to be honest with you. They get paid, what, 20,000 pesos in a month or something to that effect, but they'll go for it. They'll go for it. And that's sad that we can't even keep them here for that amount of money.
Yeah, I think that's the big part of it. It's not really necessarily OFWs wanting to do it. It's just kind of a result of the situation and the circumstances. Like, I know a lot of friends, obviously, you know, it's very stereotypical, but I have know a lot of friends who have pursued nursing. And even my girlfriend, Candy, pursued nursing.
Really?
But she's not going through with it because, I mean,
there was a time, around, yeah.
Like, the conditions, the working conditions, you know, compared to, like, the pay that you're going to get, it's really not worth it.
That's true. I mean, there was a time when everybody was trying to take up nursing. It was the craziest thing. Everyone was trying to be a nurse because the demand was so high at that time. I remember that. But, yeah. But going back, why I moved to Dubai. I actually moved to Abu Dhabi, which is, like, 45 minutes from Dubai. But I was moving back and forth for my work. The other reason why I moved to Abu Dhabi is also one of the reasons why people move to a different country. I was, at that time, following my ex-girlfriend. She used to...
Okay.
Yeah, she used to work for the airlines.
That makes sense.
Yeah. She used to work for the airlines, and she was living in Abu Dhabi a year before I even flew over. So... at that time, I was working in the Philippines. I had a business. It was doing really well. And then it tanked. Like, it tanked really hard. And so, yeah, bro. We made a lot of money and then no money. So,
oh, man.
It was really bad.
And this is before you moved.
It was before I moved. Like, I was settled in here. I'm like, nah, I'm never leaving. I'm never leaving the Philippines. We're making so much money. And then in less than, like, 2 months, like, we're making no money. But yeah.
Yeah, so, that's how it is, man. I mean, you think you have things figured out, but I mean, nope. Life just likes to fuck with you. And it's like, I think you're going to do something else.
Yeah, life's a fucking asshole. It's the worst. But yeah.
You just got to adjust, you know, go through things. But
yeah.
So you ended up moving.
Yeah, so I moved to Abu Dhabi, followed my girlfriend there. I really just went there for vacation, to be honest. The first time I left, as an OFW, I did not leave as an OFW. I guess it's the same story as most, except I wasn't doing it on purpose. I flew into the UAE as a tourist, and a lot of people I know do that, apparently. I find out when I got there. I flew in as a tourist. I was there for 3 months, right? And the first month was great. We'd go on desert safari. We'd just eat everywhere, and I was having the time of my life. And then on my second month, because she was flying out, she was still working, so she would fly out to a different country on a layover, and I'd be stuck there at home doing nothing.
And how long would she be gone for during these, like,
layovers,
these flights, or I guess these assignments? Yeah,
not that long, but sometimes she'd be gone for like 2 days, 3 days, and I'd just be sitting there wondering what I'd be doing. So I'd just walk around, do stuff, and then eventually I just figured, I do kind of like it here. I do like the fact that I'm closer to my girlfriend at that time, who we've been in a long-distance relationship for a better part of a year. So I just figured, you know what? Let me just try to get a job here. Like, you know what? Maybe I should. So, bro, I started applying, right? And the only skill set I had back then, I was 24 years old when I moved to the UAE.
You were a youngin. Oh, I was 23. No, I was 22 actually when I moved to the Philippines.
That's young. That's young to move to a different country.
Actually, yeah.
And it was not trained.
Different when I say it out loud.
Yeah.
Like, and shit, I was 22 when I moved out of the U.S. to the Philippines.
Truthfully, I was not equipped to live on my own. I had no idea what the
neither
fuck.
Neither was I.
I did not know what I was doing half the time. But so there, I started looking for work. And the only legit skill I had was from my previous work, was in events. But then I figured, I don't know. So I just applied everywhere. I applied in a car company and everything. Dude, I shit you not, I would get like 50 to 100 rejections every day.
Oh man, that's got to be so disheartening.
Bro, it really was. And funny enough, towards the third month, I was like, okay, it looks like I'm coming home, babe. I can't find a job. I guess I'm not as good as I thought I was. Who would have thought? And all of a sudden, I got this call. The only interview I got in the...
By the way, that's one of Randy's favorite phrases in the world.
I shit you not.
I shit you not. You're going to hear that a lot in this podcast.
That's true. And I promise.
FYI.
Yeah, I will. Well, I shit you not. Well, yeah, so the one interview, dude, I come in and it was this big freaking events company. I'm like, shit, I got this. I got this. And then I was in the interview. I was waiting in the, you know, in the waiting room, and I was looking at everyone around me like, fuck, they look so professional, and I look like a dork. I look so dumb, dude.
And who's on vacation right now trying to get a job?
Yeah, with like a cheap suit I bought just so I'd look decent because I didn't bring anything.
At least you tried. The effort is there. I'm sure they appreciated that.
I bet. I just looked like the poorest guy there. But, man, everybody looks so legit, and I just came in, and I just went for it, man. I said, if this doesn't work, I'm going home. I don't care. It's fine. I went for it.
Yeah.
And, dude, like a freaking movie, I felt like Will Smith. He just gave me the job right there and then. I'm like, you're okay. Fuck, I'm staying. And, yeah.
Really? So there was only, like, one position available? Or how was the situation there?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess so. I just came in, and he offered me the post. I said, do you want to work here? I said, yeah, when can you start? Now, like, give me your money. So
that's what they like to hear, though. Definitely, it's like, when can you start? Like, now.
Yesterday, oh, bro, yeah, and exactly. Yeah, and so yeah, so I started. That was my first real corporate event production job, bro. Abu the UAE.
But you said you had experience with events before.
Yeah, but this
was still in the Philippines.
Yeah, but I owned the company, so I was bullshitting my way through it. I mean.
Oh my god.
I mean, in all honesty.
At least you're honest.
Hey man, I was faking it till I made it. It just so happened that we made it. But I was bullshitting.
A lot of us do that, man. A lot of us do that.
I won't lie. It got me to where I am today. I just bullshitted my way in my first job. And so,
hey, at least you're not like that person. I don't know if you saw that meme of that person who lied on their resume and they were applying for like a sign language translator position.
Oh, fuck.
And like they put him on like the spot to like, oh, translate this. And then the person's just like, that is not sign language. What are you doing? Have you heard? That's probably the worst. That's like, probably the worst example of lying like on your resume.
Oh, bro. I know people lie in their resumes. I know that. It's just,
they're doing it, you know, out of desperation. They want to get work.
I'm just, yeah. Just if you're gonna do it, just be modest about it.
Don't stretch. If you're gonna lie, maybe make it a little white lie. Don't stretch it too far.
Don't stretch it too far.
Like, yeah, I know how to like skydive. You know, I know how to fly a plane.
Yeah, or
I know how to do sign language.
I know how to do sign.
I really don't.
I know how to fly a plane. They're like, oh, here's your plane. Oh shit.
Shit. All right, yeah. Guys, this is your captain speaking. I hope you are got all your orders in, you know, ready. I don't even know what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't even know what pilots say, actually, but this is going to be a bumpy ride.
They always
the
sound,
worst ride.
Don't they always sound like, hello, everybody. Welcome to Philippine Airlines, your airline of choice. Today we're flying to Malaysia, and we'll be flying at 35,000 feet. Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. Like,
it's like the most boringest thing in the world.
Hello, guys. This is your captain speaking. We're just going to be driving around the runway today. I have no idea how this thing goes up.
Wish me luck.
And
don't forget to fasten your seatbelts.
Yes, thank you. Oh my god, man. So yeah, so I got there.
So
it was,
you got the job.
I got the job, bro. It was the craziest thing. I have to say, that country is freaking ridiculous. It was the culture shock of culture shocks for a 24-year-old.
I was gonna ask you, because personally, I've never been to Abu Dhabi or anywhere like in the Middle East. And I've always wondered, because I mean, for me, the things I see like on the internet is like, apparently they have really cool shopping malls.
That's true.
They're very technology forward. You know, their architecture is like amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's not all the stuff that, you know, you see on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to visit. It's always a different thing in any country, I think, to live there.
Definitely.
They live in excess of everything. I've never seen that before. Okay, a few things that was a culture.
How so?
Okay, culture shock galore. So the first one, I wasn't working yet. I go to the mall. I go to the food court, right? And I was having a bite, and these two guys, they meet up, and dude, it freaked me out. They did an Eskimo kiss. You know what an Eskimo kiss is? Like nose to nose.
They rub their noses. Is that what they do over there? I didn't know that.
It completely freaked me out. I'm like, what the fuck?
So is that like a beso kind of in the Philippines?
But
like,
only for.
But it was two guys.
But only for dudes.
Oh, so girls don't do that.
Yes. And as I find out, I'm like, oh, is this what people do? Are people going to do this to me now? I don't think I'm ready for it. Apparently, it's
please
not.
Please don't tell me you tried to do that to someone without asking first. Okay. Or did anyone try to do it to you?
And that's how I went to jail. No, just kidding. I didn't. No.
Nice, sir. Nice to meet you. Get your nose out of my fucking face.
Yeah, apparently you can't. Not everyone's allowed to do it. Apparently, if you're only if you're local and only if you're like hella rich. So, yeah. So thank God I didn't try to Eskimo kiss anyone. But
so it's actually kind of like a social status type of thing.
Yeah. So that's one. Okay. That's one side of it. And then there's a lot of not immigrants, but foreign workers apart from Filipinos. I mean, we're not in the bottom of the totem pole. Let me say that. There are. Definitely not. There are. And I feel bad, bro. I mean, there are Indians, Pakistanis, and Bangladeshi workers, bro, and they get treated like trash. It's so sad because of the, like you said, there's a lot of beautiful architecture, and so it's build, and you can't build without workers, right? So they fly these people in, and if I were to convert it, they would be paid about 10,000 pesos every month. Right.
Wow, and that's really hard work, man. That's really manual labor.
And the thing is, okay, they're given a place to live and they're given food, but the living situation they're given is just, it's like being in prison in the Philippines. It's just bodies everywhere in a room that has no air conditioning, and they get transported to work in like the. It's like they did it on purpose. They found the shittiest looking bus in the UAE, and this is what we're gonna use.
It almost sounds like they're in prison,
bro.
No, because I've seen some of this. I've heard some of the stories where like they'll put like 10 or 15 people like in like a one bedroom apartment.
Oh yeah,
you know they're stuck. They're and, you know the living, like you said, the living arrangements are very poor,
bro. It's the craziest thing, and you could see it. Like sometimes I know it sounds like a movie, but you can see it in their eyes, right, as they pass, in their bus, and I can see them looking at me. Like with sadness in their eyes.
Like, oh my God.
Oh my God. It just, it's like,
yeah, I feel so bad, man.
Yeah, like they stare into your soul and you just feel bad for eating your damn ice cream. So
yeah, but I mean, like, this is why we're talking about this, like, you know, OFWs, of course, not just Filipinos, but like any culture.
That's,
you know, there's they're walking into a completely different situation. Like sometimes you might think it's better. You know, a lot of times we have that mentality that the grass is greener. But like you're saying right now, sometimes it always isn't better on the other side.
There's a lot of times when it's not. Now, let me tell you a quick story to let me move it up a notch and talk about other Filipinos when I was there. When I was there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, when I was there.
I love these stories.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, bro. When I was there, I was lucky. My girlfriend was lucky enough that she was working for a really big company. My girlfriend at that time. And so they were given like a hella big apartment, like ridiculously big apartment. They had to share it. So there were like three girls in the apartment, but everybody got a really gigantic room. And
that's provided by the company.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge. Yeah. That's huge to have that.
Yeah. And these girls were nice enough that I would sneak in, because that's not allowed. I would sneak in to sleep over.
Of course it's not.
I could die. But... everybody was really nice. Even the guards were nice. They let me in. It was fine. It wasn't the most unusual thing ever. And the two girls were nice enough. Of course not. Yeah, the two girls became my friends, so they'd let me in. I mean, considering, you know, there were three girls letting a dude into their house. Anyway, but on other nights, I got my own place too. But here's the thing, and here's the real story. They were lucky. For everybody else, you have to... Real estate was really expensive in Abu Dhabi. So, the norm was you'd get a three-bedroom apartment, and in that one apartment there would be easily freaking 20 people in there. So what happened with me was,
I can only imagine.
Yeah, so there were three rooms. One room was for this plane engineer who I became friends with, a Filipino, plane engineer. And then I had my own room, right? And then in the master's bedroom, there was, dude, straight up, there was one family in there. There are four people living in there.
In one room.
A whole family. Man. And then in the living room, their living rooms over there looked like another room unto itself. It had like a door, right? And then they had bed spacers. So there's at least six men living in there.
So it's really just trying to like use as much space as possible, trying to cram as many people as they can in there.
Here's the thing.
And I can only imagine
how it is
in other countries too.
Oh, yeah. And when I moved there, bro, I was paying for my room. I was paying about 50,000 pesos for that fucking room.
Are you serious? 50,000 pesos for that small space?
Yeah, it's like New York. It's ridiculous. And
that is ridiculous.
I didn't even have my own bathroom. Can you imagine? Oh, man. Can you imagine with that much people? We had two bathrooms. Can you imagine how mornings feel like?
Growing up, I lived in a family of four and we only had one bathroom. I can only imagine how it would be. You have a family and what you said, you had like two or three other people also living in the same unit.
Bro, I
had one bathroom.
There's like two bathrooms, but everybody was using it. And here's the I have been known to be the guy who would pee in the gas station across the street in my pajamas. I didn't give a shit.
Well, you probably have no choice.
I had no choice. So it was that rough, man. And these guys, I don't want to make it sound like a sob story all the time, but these guys would line up the hallways of our apartment with balikbayan boxes. I mean, these guys weren't making, you know, 10,000 pesos a month. They were making good money. But bro, all they did was buy shit to fill those boxes and send it back home. That's all they did. Bro, I kid you not.
Yeah, man.
I had a friend.
That's where I tip my cap to the OFWs because, bro. I mean, like, I think like where you're going is, you know, a lot of them, they do it not exactly for a better life for themselves, but also for their family.
Oh, bro. Really? It's really for their families. I know one of those guys, he would literally put in a rice cooker. He'd cook his rice and he'd put an egg in there and that would be his meal. This guy,
just so he could save the rest of his money for his family.
Guy was like a foreman in a big construction company. He wasn't poor, but that's how he would live. And I'm like, my God. So
yeah, man.
Yeah, but here's the thing too. Filipinos, there are two kinds. You know, you'd hear a lot of horror stories about Filipinos living abroad and how, you know. But there are also a lot of good people. And I was telling you this story once before where I was lucky enough because my girlfriend was in the airline, so I could fly home. I was flying home every 2 weeks, right? These people weren't. So, like, every time I'd be there, they'd be so
I bet they were so jealous of you.
Yeah, well, I don't tell them. We weren't that close, but they were all so nice. That's the thing. So, like, they'd fucking cook all the time, and they'd always ask me, like, bro, luto ako ng sinigang. Kain tayo, bro. Let's really eat it. And they look at me like, kakamiss, no? I'm like, fuck you, man. I just ate sinigang like 2 days ago.
I love this story. You just made this like 2 days ago. Keep cooking Filipino food. How can I miss it?
Yeah, they keep doing that. And then like, the next day he'd cook some Filipino food again. Like, kakamiss, diba? I'm like, fuck you, man. How can I miss it? You cook it every day.
I love the camaraderie. I mean, just kind of shows, you know, even if you guys are far away from the Philippines, they're still trying to bring back that element of like, you know, home cooking, you know, Filipino food. Really.
It's so
you gotta love it. You can't really get mad at them. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's crazy. It's hilarious.
I love that.
But here's
when you first heard, you first told me that story, I was crying from laughing.
Oh
so
my
much.
God!
It's so funny and it's so endearing at the same time.
Yeah, it was dumb and sweet, but okay, so that was, I mean, there's so much more stories, but that I guess that sums up my Abu Dhabi experience at 24. Can you imagine? That's a lot of heartbreak too. Dude, I was walking around so much. Fuck, I feel like I really earned where I got to eventually because, dude, I really had a hard time over there.
No, I definitely didn't know that. I didn't know you went there so young. Yeah. And it kind of makes it even more, worthwhile because you had to start from the bottom pretty much.
Oh, yeah, hella bottom.
From nothing. Dude. And, you know, it teaches you a lot. you know, especially going to a new country, not only if you're, well, in your case, I don't know, they mostly speak English over there, don't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody speaks English, and...
Okay.
It's just a different culture.
You didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it was just a different culture. You'd see men having Eskimo kisses and other dudes holding hands. I'm like, what the hell?
Dude, it kind of makes me think of like, I'll start talking about like me moving over to the
Philippines. Yeah, I was about to say,
dude,
yeah.
I was only 22. Yeah, I'm the reverse OFW.
While everybody was leaving to get to the States, you were leaving the States to go to the Philippines, of course.
And you know, it's funny you mentioned that because one thing, even until now, a lot of my family members, I don't know if it's they look down on the Philippines or, you know, because they kind of, they transitioned over to the U.S. Like a lot of my cousins who live here now, they're like, why are you staying in the Philippines? Why do you want to stay there? Like, it's not good there. But I'm actually on the opposite side. Like, I really enjoy the things that I've experienced in the Philippines, the people I've met, the lessons I've learned. Maybe, like, obviously the pay might not be good if you compare it to the U.S., of course. But I mean, I moved to the Philippines. At the time, I didn't know I was going to be moving.
Right.
I was 22. I had just finished culinary school. My last course was to finish an internship. Right. So I interned at a hotel in Davao City. I feel like I said this before in our first episode.
Yeah.
So a little refresher. I worked at the Marco Polo in Davao City. I have family there. My mom's from there. So it was win-win. You know, I could stay with my family in the city. I don't have to worry about lodging. And in the morning, I would just go to the hotel. My uncle would drop me off. And he would go to work. So it worked perfectly. So I was working there for about 2 or 3 months. I finished that and I was getting ready to go back home. But my silly ass decided to audition for a reality show called Starstruck. So I was working, finished. And then I auditioned, got into it. And, you know, long story short, you know, I end up being a part of GMA, become one of their talents. And this was back in 2010. And for 5 years, I was with GMA, and, like, you know, not only was I getting culture shocked, you know, I knew a little bit of Filipino culture, but, you know, living in the actual Philippines is completely different than, you know, talking about it
afar. It's Dude. Not all jeepneys and lumpia over here.
Yeah, man. It's not like, you know, always eating adobo and, like, you know, singing karaoke.
It's nothing
Dude, it's,
like that.
It's totally different. I remember when I first pulled up to Manila, because my only experiences were visiting Davao, you know, for vacations.
Exactly.
When I came to Manila, dude, the first impression I had, I was like, wow, it's so dirty here. So much traffic. Like, you look at a lot of the buildings, they're like covered in like smog from the traffic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like you see cars everywhere. No one follows the rules. And I was really shocked by it all. And of course, another part of it was like, I didn't know the language. So that was tough because, you know,
you never spoke Tagalog when you got here?
Not at all, man. I wasn't exposed to it because my mom is Bisaya. She's from Davao. So anytime I would hear her speak in Filipino, it was always Bisaya. Oh. So when I heard Tagalog for the first time, I was like, this doesn't sound like what I'm used to hearing.
That's interesting. And so you learned it while you were here.
Dude, I had to learn it on the spot. And I remember being in Starstruck, and a lot of the directors would give me directions in Tagalog, and I wouldn't know what to do. Like, oh, Steven, abante na konte. And I would just be like,
the fuck?
Yes. Steven, abante na konte. Like, you know, simple instructions I couldn't understand.
Damn. I didn't know that.
It was tough, man.
You can speak Tagalog now.
My Tagalog is horrible, but it's way better than what I first had when I came here.
I mean, I believed you. I mean, when
you believed me.
Yeah, I thought you were.
There's
legit.
Some conviction.
Yeah, I thought.
No, you I know that my Tagalog isn't perfect, but considering like where I came from, like 0%, I look back at it and I was like, wow, did I sound like that before? I sounded like, you know, a usual amboy. It's like, hello po, ako po si Steven Silva, Taga USA. Like, you know.
Hey, say something in Tagalog right now. I'm so curious.
I speak to you in Tagalog all the time. Oh, anong gusto mong sasabihin ko?
Holy shit! Now that I think about it, I don't remember you speaking in Tagalog. I think you just responded to it. Holy shit!
The thing is, I mean, that's another thing with Filipinos. You know, since they're such a like, whatchamacallit, they're so diverse, you know, in terms of like they can speak English, they can speak Tagalog. Like my mom, she speaks three languages. Technically, she speaks English, she speaks Tagalog, she speaks Bisaya. So it's like there's, you know, like a lot of times when I would speak to people, if they spoke to me in English first, I would like, okay, I'll speak to you in English. If they started speaking to me in Tagalog, I would like, okay, I have to speak to you in Tagalog. That was usually like my mindset. So like when I met you, especially since we were like in Nine Works, we were always speaking English. It's like, okay, I just speak to you in English. You know what I mean?
Comfortable, yeah. So here's my question for you. So, you know, given all of that, what made you decide to stay in the Philippines? Just the same question, why did I leave the Philippines? Why did you decide to stay here?
Dude, I think one of the main things growing up for me, and I think we talked about this before, either on the podcast or in person, one thing that was always hard for me is like growing up, I always hated the question, like, what do you want to do with your life?
Yeah.
I hated that question because I never had an answer for it. And I look back on it now, I wish I could tell myself, like, you know, like 10 years ago, it's like, just keep exploring, keep taking advantage of opportunities. And I feel like that's what I did when I joined Starstruck. I saw this opportunity that I would have never done, but I said, you know what? Why not just try it? Mm. What's going to happen if I try and I fail? At least I failed and I tried. You know, or at least I know what it felt like to experience that and go for it. Because
then regret... Not at all, yeah.
Exactly, dude. Regret is like one of the worst feelings in the world. Like, and I still have that because growing up, like in high school and stuff, I was a really shy kid. I never went to dances. I never like, you know, did any like social things, like joining any clubs. You know, in school, like they have stuff like that, like gatherings. I never went to those things. And I really regret that because I feel like it's such a missed opportunity.
Right.
To like, looking back on it, just like, you know, to experience life, man. Because when you think about it, you know, not to jump too far ahead, but say you're like on your deathbed and you're looking back on your life, you're going to remember all the good times of stuff you did.
I agree.
But you're going to regret more the things that you didn't do.
I agree. I mean, I always go by the thought of everything I do, all the decisions I make in life. That's why I leave the country. That's why it's like no fear. It's just, hey man, live life for the story. And if it's a good story, just do it. Because one day when you're in your deathbed, that's all you're going to have. I mean, you're going to make your money. You're going to do all these things. But yeah, I'm worth this much money. What did you do? What did you do with your life? I was in I was in a bank for like 50
years. No, and I mean, it sounds very millennial of us because I know this is something that millennials focus on. But I think it's kind of true. You know, it's more about getting the experiences. Like, dude, you can't, let's say you're the richest guy in the world. If you die tomorrow, you can't take that money with you.
That's it, yeah.
You know what I mean?
If all you did was make that money, that's not a really good story to tell.
Yeah, it sucks. It's like, okay, what did you do with your life? I made millions of dollars. Yeah. Okay, what else did you do?
Hedge fund.
Not much. Yeah, so, you know, it is kind of a balance. Obviously, you need to make money. But yeah, going back to what you were asking, I decided to stay because I felt like there was nothing really going on for me in the U.S. Like, I could have went back, could have gotten a job working at a restaurant, but I saw this opportunity, and I just kind of wanted to figure it out. I wanted to explore it, and, dude, I don't regret. I feel like if I didn't join Starstruck, I would have regretted it so much.
I bet.
Because I learned so much.
Yeah. Dude, from a guy who doesn't go to dances, you've been dancing a lot.
Fuck, I had no choice, man. Yeah. That's one thing I remember. I think this was Douglas Nieres.
Oh my gosh. The
famous dance teacher. Yeah.
Shout out Tito Dogs. My gosh.
Wait, do you know Tito Douglas?
Who doesn't? This guy is the scariest guy ever.
Power dance.
Yeah.
Represent.
Funny enough, my boss.
So much respect.
Yeah, my boss in Malaysia is his nephew. That's funny.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And they are exactly the same. Shout out Kuya Jaime. I love you now. He tried to fire me 2 months into the job. Okay, back to you.
Anyways, I'll never forget Tito Douglas. I can call him that now. But during Starstruck, he was our dance mentor. I would call him Sir Douglas. I remember he told us, he's like, you may not know how to dance, but if you're going to become an artista and join this industry, you need to learn how to dance. And he was so right because he told us 70% of the things you do moving forward will involve some type of dance. And boy, was he right. He was so right. And I didn't know how to dance for shit. Like getting into Starstruck. All I knew how to do was like carry a tune. I could sing a little bit. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know how to dance. I barely knew how to speak any Tagalog. And man, it was a tough, tough journey. But dude, I feel like if you could quantify like how much I learned compared to all the other contestants, like I was like a million, level a million, like in terms of lessons that I learned just because I took this opportunity. So,
oh my gosh, I can imagine. And you learned from the best too.
I was very fortunate. Yeah, man. Our acting coach was Gina Alahar. We had Douglas Nieres as our dance instructor. You have like people like Isa Calzado as our judges, you know, critiquing us.
Damn.
Tito Floyd Quintos, you know, also giving us critiques.
So here's my question.
It was a huge opportunity. Yeah. Yes, what's up?
No. So here's my question, that being said. Would you say that the Philippines is now home? Would you see yourself being here for
the long term?
Yeah. Do you?
I'll be honest with you. There are some times where I don't. Even though I'm in the Philippines, you know, it is my home now. But there are certain times where maybe with what's happening in the government, you know, how the Philippines are, I just feel like I see now why so many people want to leave. Yeah. I've been there for 10 years, you know, and I've been through the grind of like dealing with traffic, dealing with like so much red tape, like Jesus Christ, like anytime you have to do anything on the phone with a bank, it's so difficult. Just little things, you know, they add up, and I see now, like I get it, why certain OFWs leave and they never come back.
I feel you. Like nothing will make you see the Philippines more clearly than being in a different country. You see how like when I left for Malaysia, I thought Malaysia was shit. I thought the Philippines was better. I thought that Malaysia would be worse than the Philippines. I'm like,
ooh, really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I just thought it cannot be better than the Philippines. Malaysia. Whoever talks about Malaysia. And I get there.
Yeah, that is true, even though they're like one of our neighbors in Southeast Asia.
Exactly. Like, who talks about Malaysia? I fly in. Oh, shit. We are so far behind. I feel so embarrassed. Oh, my gosh, man. Bro.
That's what I'm saying.
The streets are, well, clean. They talk about traffic, but it's like nothing compared to Manila. And they're so advanced now. It's still boring. But oh my gosh, we got so left behind.
And dude, like even more so for me, like coming from the U.S. and I'm not trying to shame or anything, but like it's like light years.
Oh, you know,
and I feel like I'm sure the first year or two, I was that annoying like amboy saying like, you know, in the U.S. we have this or we can do. And I really stopped doing that because it's annoying.
It's annoying.
And it doesn't change anything.
Yeah. Does your mom keep asking you to go back? Because my brother does. He's like, why don't you just move back to the States? Why don't you just move here? And I'm like,
Of my mom.
Do what?
She always bugs me about that. She's back? Like, when are you coming back to your true home?
To your true home? Like, what the...
And my mom's like one of the biggest advocates about that too. She's like, you know, I've been there in the Philippines. I know what it's like. You know, you should go to the U.S., you know, get a job here. It's a better life. And for the most part, maybe she's right. But dude, I feel like I've carved out some success for myself in the Philippines.
Of course you did. Of course you did. And sometimes, it's you did really well here too. And sometimes it's not just that. You can go, and I told my brother that too. What am I going to do? I built a career over the span of 15 years, had all these great experiences and shows and all of that. And I'm going to fly to the States. You think I'm going to get the exact same job? I don't think so.
You're going to be starting from zero.
I don't want to be a manager of a car rental company.
Wow, that was very specific.
I don't know. I don't want to be like a manager for Walmart. I don't want to do that.
That you mentioned that here in Walmart in the U.S., most of like the greeters and the workers are Filipino.
Of course they are.
I can hear them like usually when they greet like, hello, good afternoon, welcome to Walmart. Like you can hear them like, oh, you're Filipino. I can tell. I mean, I get it, to each his own. I think one thing is to be a little philosophical about it, to remember, you know, each person has their own success that they're trying to chase. Because you think being successful means making like hundreds of thousands of pesos or dollars per month, if another person, if they make enough to get by, and you know they can have a good family, have some great experiences in life. That's already happiness on its own right there.
Yeah, success is relative, and it's up to you to define for yourself what that means. I believe that too. I mean,
it's super, man. I feel that's one thing I've learned over the years.
Agree.
It's not all about being rich, having a nice car.
Agree. It's all about, for me, it's all about experiences, relationships. You know, it doesn't hurt to make some money along the way.
Oh, of course not. I feel like one of my definitions of success is, and I think I've told you this, one of my definitions of being successful is being able to go into a restaurant and I don't have to check the menu to, like, you know, make sure I'm not ordering the most expensive
item. Hell yeah.
I can, you know what I mean? Like, I can order anything I want and not have to worry about
That's a great feeling, isn't it?
Right? Because, you know, I obviously as a kid, like a college kid or whatever, you're always like, oh, shoot, I can't break the bank, like, ordering some food. You always get, like, the cheapest item. I remember I used to do that all the time. Yeah. Like, oh, I can't order that.
I agree.
But, you know, getting back to it, you know, definitely... It's not an easy life, man, being an OFW. Not. I definitely tip my cap to them.
I think one of the things, too, if I were to, I don't know, if give my 2 cents worth or a piece of advice for you, if you're listening and thinking of being an OFW at some point. One thing I've learned from being an OFW in two different phases in my life. The first one was when I went to the UAE and I was 24 years old, starting a career, had zero idea what the fuck I was doing. And then the second part was when I left when I was 33. Yeah. And left for Malaysia. That was a completely different part of my life too, where I kind of built a career already. I knew where I was going. It helped that I was coming in as a boss. You know?
Yeah. That helped. That definitely helps.
That helps. No, but the thing was, it was that changed the experience completely. As opposed to the UAE, where it was just the worst. Malaysia, really quickly, was one of the best experiences of my life. It was really great. And I also learned that, you know, people are people. And at the end of the day, they're Malaysians, we're Filipinos, Americans, whatever. But, you know, with friendship, empathy, they became like family, bro. They took such good care of me. Like, you know, they've been wonderful. And they became lifelong friends too. And hopefully I get to visit Malaysia soon and stuff like that. But it was a great experience for me too. So
yeah, I would imagine, especially like, you know, let's say you guys are in Malaysia and you're coming in from all different countries. You kind of find like a family sense, you know, amongst yourselves.
Oh my gosh.
Because you guys are all sharing the same experience.
Oh yeah, we were all experiencing the same hardships and joys and all of that. But I think the lesson there is, before you become an OFW, I think you better really check yourself and your maturity level and be prepared to have a different life. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. But you better dive in, man. You don't fly to a different country and act as if, like you said, you can't be American in the UAE or in Malaysia or in the Philippines. You fly here, you're an American.
I apologize to anyone that I did that for. I only did it for like the first year or so I was there. And I had to stop doing it. Because it finally hit me. It's like, dude, you are no longer in the U.S. You can't say that.
Just dive in. So, dive into the culture. Like,
Have an open mind.
An open mind, because they love that, you know? Like, there's so many times, share a meal. Share a meal with people. Share a meal with locals.
Eat foods that you wouldn't normally eat. It reminds me, during Starstruck, one of the contestants, he's from Cebu. His name is Piero. He's one of my closest friends in the competition. I remember one night during the competition, we kind of escaped from our hotel. Yeah. And he's like, dude, he's like, I really want to eat balut. And he's like, have you tried it? And I was like, no, I haven't. And he's like, you have to promise me you're going to try it. If we find a vendor, you have to try it. And I was like, okay. And I was really hoping we wouldn't find a vendor. And of course, sure enough, you hear that. You hear the fucking horn. That's a really bad horn impersonation, but you hear that balut, you know, in the background. And I was like, fuck, we're going to have to eat it. And it wasn't that bad, dude. I had an open mind. I tried it out. It really wasn't that bad.
And that's how you gain real friends. To be honest, that's how it happened for me too in Malaysia.
Yeah, dude. I remember he told me, he's like, I'm so happy you tried it. He's like, this is your first time, right? And it's like an instant connection right there.
Nothing's more endearing than you trying out something that's dear to their hearts, like something local, like food. And then they realize, okay, this guy's a good guy. And that's the truth. And I think that's how we all became friends in Malaysia as well. It's just, I dove in, bro. At one point, I was starting to sound Malaysian. People around.
That's funny because one of the times I came back, I'd been in the Philippines for a while and I came back to visit my family. One of my friends, when I was talking to him, he's like, "Holy shit, you have a Filipino accent." And I was like, "Do I?" And he's like, "Yeah, I just heard it. Like, there are certain words I would start saying like a Filipino. Like, I would say like one word I now mix up. I can't say advocacy. Sometimes I would say advocacy, which is the Pinoy way of saying it. Because I hear it from beauty pageants all the time. You know, like, for my advocacy or advocacy. And I would mix it up. And I think I said that in conversation and they called me out. And I was like, oh, shit, you're right.
Oh, my God. But it's true, dude. Mine was really bad. I was saying, like, we'd go and I'd go out on a store, right? And like, okay, sir, are you okay with this? Yeah, okay la, okay la.
Oh, you started picking up the la.
I'm like, oh.
I thought that was a Singaporean thing, or do they do that in Malaysia as well?
Oh, it's a Malaysian thing. Okay la.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay la. I'm like, it's so funny
because we had some Singaporeans as interns at JAM. And I told them, I was like, because they speak really good English, of course. And I was like, wait a second. How would you talk if you were in Singapore? Dude, it sounds like they're speaking a different language, man. Wow. I can't even emulate it. It's like,
Singlish.
It is Singlish. But like, it's such a weird slang.
Yeah. No, I have a Singaporean. Like, there's Malaysian, which I understand completely. And the language itself sounds very similar to Filipino. So sometimes they'd start talking in Malay and I would kind of get what they were saying, freak them out. Singaporeans, though, that fucker was speaking in English and I still can't understand what they were saying.
Yeah, that's something else, man.
I'm like, what? What did you say?
But I mean, it's such a cool experience, man. You know, for you, maybe it's not a completely different language, but you get more perspective. You get cultured. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, it makes you feel like the world is a bigger place and a smaller place all at the same time. That's for sure.
Okay. I mean, I think we can go on for this for hours, but I mean, this is kind of just like the OFW experience, mostly from Randy's point of view, because he is the legit OFW.
Oh my gosh.
Or he experienced the legit. Nakakamiss, diba?
Nakakamiss. Sarap ng sinigang, diba? Kakamiss, diba? Okay ba yung adobo? Sarap, diba? Kakamiss, diba? I'm like, what the f... Dude,
we just had this like 2 days ago.
We just had this morning. Dude, you literally just heated this up. I'm like, nakakamiss, diba?
Oh, I want to meet that guy, whoever
dude,
that is.
We're
and
still,
I want to like eat with him.
Bro,
and
we're still friends.
I would be the first one to say it to him. I would be like, ang sarap ng adobo, nakakamiss, diba? And he'll be like, diba?
Then he'll come out, nakakamiss. And then he'd give you a look too. Nakakamiss, diba? Like, come
and
on.
And he's like waiting for you to respond like, oh nga no.
Oh, God. Love that guy. We're still friends, by the way. All right,
I want to meet that guy.
Oh, for sure. That being said, okay, as we were coming to a close, let's have an OFW and a reverse OFW. What are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts, if you're going to, you know, regardless, if you're OFW, whatever, if you're going to go to another country, be open, experience as much as you can. Don't be rigid, you know what I mean? Like, just take advantage of the opportunity because you never know. Like, with you were there for a couple of years. Maybe who's to say that you're only going to be there for a short while? And again, it kind of comes back to you don't want to regret anything like, man, I should have done this or man, I should have tried that or talked to that person. And I think that's the worst thing you can do. Just be open.
Agree.
Yeah.
I say that's right. Just dive into whatever culture you're flying into. Dive in, eat the food, get to know the people. It's going to be a different experience, but be open and you'll have a great time. And being an OFW has its perks. It's a very lonely thing to do. I will admit there are so many times when you'd really, really get homesick. So make sure you're prepared before you leave. Know what you're getting yourself into. It's not going to be easy. It might pay well, but you really have to weigh if the money is worth being alone, being lonely, missing your family. And if you say that it is, prepare your heart, prepare your mind, and you're going to have a great time. I think that's it.
Yeah, that's a really good lesson right there. I'll just close it with this. Ever since I started becoming this backwards OFW, I fucking hate airports. I've had the worst experiences now in airports, because airports now are just like, this is where I'm going to say goodbye to my family.
That's true.
Yeah, but it like you said, OF, being an OFW, it has its perks. It has its you know, drawbacks as well. So salute to you guys, and of course everyone listening right now. That's pretty much it for this episode of the Dumb Things Podcast.
That's right.
That was a good one. We got into a lot of stuff.
That's true.
So thanks again, guys, for tuning in. We definitely appreciate the support. And of course, a big shout out to all the OFWs all over the world. You guys keep on trucking. Make sure to follow us, of course, on social media. I'm at I am Steven Silva.
That's right. And thank you again, guys. You're heroes and just living a good life. And you can find me on social media also at _RandySalvador. And if you see that it doesn't have a lot of followers yet, I swear it's me. It's a new account.
You never tweet from it, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You still aren't using it.
Oh, yeah. It's _RandySalvador on Twitter, _RandySalvador on Instagram. I still haven't posted anything. I still haven't tweeted. I promise I will. By the time you hear this, you hear this podcast, I probably have done something. And that being said, if you have any suggestions or comments or any topics you want us to talk about, shoot us an email at dumbthingspodcast@gmail.com.
There you go. .com.
.com. That's a very Filipino thing. Dumb Things Podcast.
Nakakamistipa.
Dumb Things.
In the deep voice.
Yeah. So there, dumbthingspodcast@gmail.com. And yeah. And then maybe at some point we'll have a segment where we'll be talking about those emails you keep sending us. Yeah, and there you go.
Yeah, we have none, though. There's none so far. But yeah. Hey, obviously, we haven't released the podcast yet, as of now.
As of right now. We're excited.
So maybe we'll think of doing something like an Ask Steven and Randy segment. So send those in.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll either give you the best or worst advice possible. But we will try our best. And that's the most important part, right, Randy?
And yeah, and it's still advice. And
it might not be good advice.
But it's advice.
It's still advice. So anyways, we'll see you all in the next episode of the Dumb Things Podcast. See you guys.
Bye.